Welcome back, everybody. And this episode, I'm sitting here with Anders Hansen. And Anders Hansen is one of Denmark's biggest coaches and speakers. And he's actually combining magic with personal development. He has been working with Bob Proctor for almost 5 years, and he runs this coaching empire. And I spoke with my friend Frederick just an hour ago, who's a dear friend to Anders. And Frederick told me that there is no person who has influenced me so much the way Anders did. So I just got so curious about Anders after hearing everything Frederick told me about Anders. So I just digged into his material and I was like blown away. So today we're probably gonna experience world class. I'm quite sure of that. We're gonna dig into how he created like a business that's doing $10 million and his business aspect, how he's built his products and how he actually created the foundation of what he stands on today. So it's a true honor, Anders, to have you on my podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. The pleasure is all mine. And it's a big honor for me as well.
What are you most grateful for today? Because I know every day you write down your gratefulness like lists and stuff.
That's true. I'm on day 1820 today, in fact. And today, the first thing that came to me was, I'm so grateful just to be alive. Like when that thought, when I become aware in the morning that I get another day on this planet, it just fills me with tremendous gratitude. And so it usually starts with things that I possess, that I am. I'm alive. I'm able to breathe. I can move. I can watch. I can observe. I have two little dogs. And then expands from there to family, to team, to participants, to company, to the rest of the world. But it usually starts with, you know, today's another possibility of living what I really believe I came here to do.
Why do you write it down? Because I'm just, I start my days thinking, but I don't write it down. What's the psychology there?
That's such a great question, Jonathan. And there's a reason for it. So when you write, it actually triggers mental images in your mind. And those images will turn into emotions. And so the technique of gratitude is really to change your emotional state. It's to raise your vibration, as we say, your frequency. And so we do that more effectively when we write in hand. And sometimes if I feel like the emotions are lacking, I can write what I believe I'm grateful for. But if I don't feel it, I usually verbalize it as well. So the act of putting words to that thing, that pet, that experience will often bring with it a stronger feeling. And it's Wallace Wattles who wrote that classic book, The Science of Getting Rich. He said, the entire process of mental adjustment and attunement can be summed up in one word, and that's gratitude. And he talked not just about money, but a rich life. And so when it comes to success in business and success in our personal lives, gratitude just is the thing that hooks you up to your universal intelligence and to your source of supply, which is inside, right? Many of us try to seek it outside. So that's the first thing every morning. Yeah.
And that's the second thing you do? Like, that's the first thing, but what's the second thing? Because you're so successful. I want to know every detail here.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jonathan. I think success has to do with a system that we live every day and not necessarily the destination. There was one point in time where earning $10,000 for me was an insurmountable big goal. And, the marker for success moves continuously. But I believe if we just adhere to a program every day, then we're well on our way, because then we know it's just a matter of time before it shows up on the physical plane. So the first thing for me is gratitude. I write out 10 things that are either in my life or on the way into my life. So I usually break it up by five and five. So five things that are in my life, because it's easier for me to create an emotional state around something that is versus something that is to be on the physical plane. But once I feel a shift, I continue by writing things out that are on their way that have to do with my goal. And so I transfer gratitude for the moment to a future pacing of a future result that I want. And so that's sort of the second step, is things that I'm grateful for, things that I'm very, very grateful for are on their way on a physical plane. They're already here because I can think of it, but they're on their way on the physical plane. Mm-hmm. And then I ask for guidance. I believe we are part of something bigger. And in fact, there was a study made not too long ago that said that 86% of the people asked believed, not necessarily in a religious context, but they believed that they were part of something bigger, that had a deeper, more profound spiritual meaning. So I ask for guidance from the universe, quote unquote universe, and I use my intuitive factor, like just become very quiet, take some deep breaths. I do a countdown from 24, where I visualize the number 24. And with my every breath I take, I count down to 23, 22, 21. It's a Wayne Dyer technique, all the way down to zero. And then I've stilled my body completely. I've stilled my mind. And if I haven't, if I keep thinking of other things, I go back and start from 24 mm-hmm. until I'm down where my mind is more quiet. And in that state, I recite my goal. And I ask for guidance. And I ask very specifically, now that I'm here, now that I'm standing in my goal, how easy did I get here? So I don't think of my goal. I think from my goal. I say, now that I'm here, how easy and effortlessly did I get here? And from that frequency usually comes ideas that are so different than if I were to think of my goal as something down the timeline.
Wow, good start. I'm actually going to try that tomorrow, Anders.
Yeah, after 1,820 days in a row, you learn a little bit, I guess.
What had you start with this habit? Was that Bob Proctor telling you to do it, or how did it begin?
We met the first time in 2016, and we sat down and had breakfast together on January 2nd of 17, and he gave me very specific direction. I was broke. I couldn't afford rent. I was sick. I was unhappy. Nothing worked. And Bob was very direct. He said, you know, do I look like I need, I did. He had a very specific way of saying it. You know, he asked what I wanted. And I said, health, wealth, happiness, basically the classics, right? I had none of it. And he goes, do I look like an unhappy person? No. Do I look like I need something? No. Do I look like I have freedom? Absolutely. So he goes, your model obviously isn't working, Anders. Why don't you try mine? And I'm like, that makes sense. And he said, this is what I want you to do. And one of the first things was to write gratitude out, because it does adjust your mind. It brings you into harmony and it overrules all the fear, all the doubt. And as business owners, we go through all those phases of fear and doubt and uncertainty. And then 2020 came and then everything changed. But that gratitude just kept me anchored all the way through.
And that story is just so awesome, how you met Bob Proctor. Because I interviewed a lot now of Bob Proctor consultants, but you were not a Bob Proctor consultant. You were more his partner and working side by side with Bob. And I mean, the story before that breakfast, you were going to pick up a friend, right, at a casino, and you went to that casino. Please share that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had just come out of the entertainment industry back in 2016. I was burned out. I was doing shows on cruise ships. Mm-hmm. So I was flying 8 times on average per week, 8 years straight. And that does something to your health, you know. We moved from Miami to Las Vegas. So I flew to ships from Las Vegas every week, back and forth, back and forth. And I made a decision. I had studied personal development for a while. I'd studied everything that had to do with the mind, because I had created what some would say a big quantum leap in entertainment. When I first came to the United States here, I had nothing but 2 suitcases and a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. That was it. And somebody gave me the book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy. And I started reading that, and 1 year later, I was performing magic for tips, mind you, in 2006 when I landed here. I had nothing. I had $20 an evening was a great night for me, you know. And I was performing magic for tips in local bars and restaurants. And somebody gave me that book and I started reading it. And my results changed really quickly. In less than a year, I was performing a multi-million dollar production show on a big cruise ship. I was traveling the world all of a sudden. And a lot of things changed, but I couldn't really explain what I was doing. People asked me, you know, they had read the same book, but nothing really happened. And I couldn't articulate what I had done differently. But I had to figure it out somehow because I got more and more fascinated with what had happened. I knew it wasn't an accident. I knew it wasn't a God sitting and saying, now it's Anders' turn on stage. And I knew it was has something to do with my new way of thinking. And so I studied personal development, quantum physics, spirituality, trying to figure out what the heck happened. And in that process, I became more and more fascinated with personal transformation and less fascinated with the entertainment industry. And when I got sick on top of it, I made a decision to quit. I wanted to change course and I wanted to bridge the two worlds. I just didn't know how. But I said, if I'm going to do this, I want to work with the best in the world in personal development. That's it. I knew enough to know that I could say that without knowing how it was going to happen. And so I lived from that frequency every morning, wrote gratitude out for working with the best in the world, started practicing in front of the mirror 8 hours a day, because when you're working with the best in the world, you have to be prepared, right? You have to be good. And so I started surrounding myself with good speaking coaches, such as yourself, people that are really dialed in, that know what they're doing, you know. And I had a good speaking coach in Vegas at the time that I looked up to, and I worked with her. And about 3 months passed, and then this is December 2016. And then my former partner, he had to go to work. He worked at Louis Vuitton at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. And he said, I'm going to work tonight because we're going to be busy. And that was unusual for me to hear him say that, because he hated his work. He didn't like it at all. But in that moment, my intuition kicked in and told him to go an hour early to pick him up. Go and pick him up, but go an hour early. But that didn't make any sense to me. I don't like big crowds. I'm an introvert by nature, believe it or not. And so, but I went with my intuition, but my rational mind and my intuition was debating each other, you know? So I went with my intuition, parked the car, walked around, and I ran right into Bob. We ran into each other on a busy casino floor. And my whole world sort of turned upside down, because I had listened to Bob for many years, his meditations and all this great work, you know? But something in me was like, I can't disturb the man. He's busy. But then this Michael Jordan quote kept playing on repeat. You know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Take the shot. You have an opportunity to take a shot here. So I introduced myself, and Bob was a master at reading energy. And he said, what do you do? And I said, I used to do magic, and now I want to do what you do. And he goes, magic, personal development. I never heard it before. Do you have time for breakfast tomorrow? And that was the beginning of a great friendship. And he was a great friend, and he mentored me for 5 years and helped me develop Real Magic Live, our live show, and helped create a program with me called The Secret to Real Magic. We actually collaborated based on his 60 years of research and the original Earl Nightingale material, and I added my 18 years of observations on top of it. So it was a powerful process.
I mean, I get like 100 questions only from that story. And yeah, I'm not even sure myself where to start. But you said you just followed your intuition there. And how do you become good at that?
So it's a good question, Jonathan. What I realize is, after looking back on it, in entertainment, you are around a lot of people often. So you just naturally build a sixth sense in terms of you start feeling people, you start getting hunches, your gut feeling starts picking up in certain areas. There are certain people you just naturally want to be around, and the other people you don't. And so I listened to my intuition more and more over the years as I've been in entertainment. And what I realized I had done is I was living from the frequency of working with the best in the world. And from that frequency came ideas, came insights. And in hindsight, what I did was what all, we call them geniuses, but we all have the ability. All geniuses in history have worked that way. Edison made a decision that he was going to light up the world. He had no idea. He didn't have the faintest idea as to how that was going to happen, but he made the decision. And he went into a dark room with a little candle every night, and he called it the land of opportunity. Mm. That's where he downloaded all the ideas through his intuition that he then executed on. But that's nothing is created or destroyed. Everything is here. If not in one state, then in the other. And we can connect with those frequencies at will, anytime, anywhere. And when you do it sustained over a period of time, like I did, I'm working with the best in the world. I'm already there. I felt tremendous gratitude for it. I was there. I practiced. I was living like it. Then your intuition starts poking at you from that frequency. You see, you start getting hunches. Go there. Think about this. Connect with that person. And that's all I did. But it's a process of allowing. You can't force it. So one way to really strengthen your intuition is to it sounds silly, but it's real. Forget about ourselves. We have a tendency to focus a little too much on ourselves. Like, what do they think of us? You know, I wonder what they think. Like, let go of all that and place our focus on everybody else. And I believe that's the biggest gift you can give another person anyways, is your full attention consciously, emotionally, and physically. When you are there 100%, you start picking up vibrations from that person. You can tell how they feel if you really pay attention. And that's a good way to start practicing in it.
That's an awesome tips. And because I guess Bob felt your energy. It wasn't so much about what you were saying. Like, I want to be like you. It was not that he picked up on. It was like your energy, probably. Or do you Absolutely. Agree?
I agree. And he said it many times. He's done a lot of videos for us over the years. And he said, I just liked his energy. I just picked it up right away. I could tell he was genuine. I could tell he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's what happens. You know, you naturally attract from the frequency you're on. Mm-hmm. And so when we start working with ourselves, our mindset, our skill set, our tool set in business, you automatically start switching out your environment, because the people that don't vibe with you, they just stop calling you. And then there's other people that you sort of naturally attract into your sphere because you're on that frequency. And so that is the way it works. And it's not easy. I just had a dialogue with one of our participants earlier, and it's tough. Let's say you have a partner that don't understand you, and all of a sudden you go from this frequency of just getting by to, I'm a multimillionaire, successful business owner. This is what I see. This is what I attract. This is what I am. If that happens too quickly, there's partners around us, there's family members, there's friends that just think we've lost it, right? So there's a willingness there also that needs to come into play of letting go of anything that isn't in harmony with that frequency. And that's probably the hardest part.
Mm. But when you were working at these cruise ships with magic, and did you feel that you learned a lot of lessons there that you today can use with the audience?
100%. I think for a long time, I wondered why I spent so long in entertainment. You know, you can be in a job or in a position and you go, you don't even know why you're doing it. It's just habit. I think a lot of people find themselves there in jobs, and jobs they maybe detest the job. They don't like the job. They're getting a paycheck they're not satisfied with, and they're afraid to get fired. That's insanity, right? That's a lot of people. I sort of was there in entertainment. I didn't know why. It was a skill set I had built when I was younger. It was a dream I had. When I lived it, it felt hollow. But it helped me build a skill set of illustration. And that's what I'd love to illustrate right here, because we use illusions to break patterns. And we're pattern-seeking mechanisms, you and I. We have a mind that seeks closure and patterns, because from those patterns comes meaning, and we assign meaning to everything. So I use it today to illustrate the concepts, and that's what 20 years on stage taught me. That's why now I can say that's why I spent 20 years doing it. I was just preparing for something greater. So Jonathan, when you look at this, this is a multidimensional domino brick. You see this side has one dot, this side has four. This side has three, and this side has six dots. And then you go, what happened here? This is really strange. So let's take it back to where we started. We saw three dots here. We saw three dots because your mind finished a pattern. You've seen domino bricks before. You've seen many of them. So the conclusion of three dots happened in your head, not here, in your head. It's illusions that are created through assumptions. The more assumptions we have, the more illusions happen in our life. So do we agree you saw either this pattern or you saw that pattern. You didn't see this pattern because you haven't seen domino bricks before that looked like it. So either you saw one or you saw three. It was the same on this side here. You saw either six dots or you saw four. Because again, our mind seeks closure and we seek to create meaning. So as an illusionist, it's my job to continuously challenge those patterns. And hopefully I've done that by showing you how they've multiplied on this side. There's now three dots here. And if I've done it right, there's now eight dots here. So my past in magic has helped me in creating illustration tools to get the point across. Because what magic does, it sets aside the conscious mind. Even in a split second, in that moment of what the heck just happened here, the conscious mind stops and you can leave an impression on the subconscious. And that means the lesson goes in. It stays with you. You can't forget about it even if you tried. And so that's what our Real Magic Live events are built up around. It's sort of emotional impacts all throughout 2.5 days with illusions. In fact, my producer and I are going to Las Vegas here next month on another research trip, and we're meeting with another mentor of mine in magic and another good guy. He's David Copperfield's illusion builder. And so we're redoing what Real Magic Live is. We're taking it to another level with entertainment, basically. But yeah, I figured out why I had spent so long in entertainment. It was basically just to prepare me for what I'm doing today.
And that can actually be a very good lesson for the listeners as well, because many Absolutely. Has like a job that they hate the job. They don't know why they do it, but just to have that like thought in their head that maybe I'm preparing myself for the future and I need to do this job.
I think that's so true, Jonathan. And I believe there's a life purpose in all of us that we're seeking to express. And the soul came here with a purpose. It has to do with other people. We can express it in ways that we may not even like that much. Mm-hmm. And we wonder why we've done it. But when we look at the bigger picture, it was all essential. It was just the life purpose expressing itself over here, when in fact you got more out of life by expressing it here. So let's say one of your clients, maybe they're a teacher, maybe they're a nurse or somebody else that works with people very intensely. But then they realize, wow, I want to monetize my message. I want to get out to a bigger audience. In a way, I've always lived the life purpose of helping people over here. But now I'm just taking the same life purpose and wrapping it a little differently so it can express itself in a bigger and greater way in another area. And I think that's important. I think we all come here with a purpose that we're looking to express. And there is meaning, even in the crap that happened and in all the stuff we went through and then the breakups and the heartaches and the firings, and there's always a reason in it, right? It's because our soul is urging expression, I believe.
Yeah. And when you were at those cruise ships, did you learn the lesson of like how important it also is to entertain and not only teach?
I do believe you're doing both regardless.
Yeah.
If you're a very effective communicator, you're also entertaining. You are also creating at least a fun environment. That's also an entertainer. I think some of our biggest teachers can be stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
Some of our biggest teachers can be musicians. Mm. You know, but I do believe speakers are entertainers too, the good ones. Mm. Like they have to have a level of laughter, of engagement. That's entertaining as well. And so absolutely. I believe the personal brands that succeed today are people who merge education with entertainment and pop culture, like making it current, making it tie into something that is on top of mind for everybody. So when we deliver something that's educational, it's emotional, has some emotional impacts, and maybe it's fun, you know, it's engaging. It's educational as well. There's an educational component to it. And then if it's current, then I believe there's always a space in the market for that person.
Yeah, I totally agree. And after when you had Bob as your mentor, you were making around $40,000 per year before.
Yeah, I
And
was.
after your first year with Bob, you were suddenly at $400,000. Is that correct? Or I think I read something about those numbers. And
So, yeah, he asked me what I really wanted, and I was buried in debt. So I said, I want more freedom. I want to earn more money. You know, I couldn't even, I was really struggling. And he said, I can show you how to do that. If you do exactly what I'm telling you, you can have anything you want. The problem is most people don't do exactly what I'm telling them. And I said, I'll do exactly what you tell me, Bob. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And 11 months later, I had turned $40,000 a year into $750,000.
Wow. So it was almost a double as the number I were reading. And
It
so,
was a big jump, and I didn't know what I was doing, honestly. It was, and it sounds crazy. How can you say you didn't know what you were doing? I knew what I was doing, but it was still so new to me that there weren't any experience there. It was just rock and roll. I know what I'm good at, and I'm going to focus on what I'm good at, but I'm going to build it in a one-to-many model. And I believe for any business owner, so here's the problem with most people in business, I believe. They start off with what they love to do. They should reverse it and they should start thinking about what does the market really need? What does the market need and how can I fill that need? When we start there, our odds for success goes up. And that's where I started. I said, what do people really struggle with? They struggle with managing their own mind. I had gotten better at it because I'd created those. In entertainment, I went from zero to a really good career. So I had done something that worked. I crashed and I in with my health and I learned something from it again. I got back on track. That taught me something else. So I started there. I think most people try and unfortunately, I see a lot of people who try and give what they don't have. We cannot give more than what we have. We can only give awareness based on what we have. So I started with how can you control your mind more so you can express more peace and harmony in your life. Then, as I started creating better finances and those results started changing, then I added that aspect to my teachings. But I do see a lot of speakers, coaches, consultants, they have the golden steps to this and a golden step to that. They're all behind on their installment payments and they're broke and they're trying to teach other people about financial independence. That is unethical, in my opinion. So we give from where we are with what we have, but if we look in the marketplace for a need and fill that need, not based on our knowledge, but based on our own awareness, then things happen really quickly.
You said something, you built like a one-to-many model. Can you explain that? I didn't really
Absolutely.
got that.
So there's in our industry, there's really two ways to do it, right? Either you sell your time, or you're selling results. And so when you sell your time, you sell maybe a keynote speech for a certain price, or you sell five one-on-one consultations as a consultant or a coach. That's selling your time. That's like buying yourself another job with more responsibility. You're still trapped in the time is money model because we're programmed with it. We saw our parents work in that model and it doesn't work. It's a failing, losing model. We lose out on freedom. We sell all the time. I had somebody say the other day, I asked her, what's your criteria for success? And she goes, a full calendar. I said, that sounds like torture to me. I mean, I don't want to work more than 2 or 3 hours a day, and I want to have the freedom I know I deserve. And so a one-to-many model is really looking at how can I sell a process? How can I sell a result for someone without selling all of my time? Most people think they need more of a coach's or a speaker's time. They don't necessarily need more of it. They need enough to go execute on something that will produce them a result. So I had one of my business coaches, he charged me $155,000 to work with him to be able to ask him questions once every 2 weeks in a group format. And if I didn't get my hand up right away, well, sorry, you can ask again in 2 weeks. I did that because I knew that that investment was going to show me how to persuade and how to sell one to many from stage. So it was worth it. You know, so I think that's the key. It's looking at how can we multiply ourselves? How can we multiply our processes? And if a listener is in the coaching space, then definitely group coaching is the way to go. Not only for that reason, for the more important reason, which I believe is people learn more from each other. When you watch other people grow alongside each other, they learn a lot from each other, and you miss out on that if you're selling your time in a one-on-one model. That's my opinion, and I've tried both. And I can tell you from experience that the group coaching is a much more fun way to live life.
I definitely listen here because this is so relevant for me as well. I make around $400,000 now per year, but nice. I'm definitely trapped now in one of the biggest pieces there is my one-to-one coaching. But I told my friend, like, I think I'm doing all of these thousands of hours in coaching so I can do it later on a stage and in groups. So recently I started to do more and more group coaching, and it's so much more fun. It's an adventure. It's like you do breakout room. But when I sell it now, I've tried to like tell my clients, Leah, you be in a group of seven people, you can ask questions. And I have so much harder to sell that than you can work with me for 10 hours. That's what they want. So how should I think there, Anders?
So that's because your subjective mind hasn't bought into the idea yet that it's a better way. But you can, I would write that out as part of your self-image. So when you write it out in sentences, in full sentences, how you're so happy and grateful now that you are sought after leader in your industry, and that you're helping people achieve what they want. And then you can quantify it in number of clients or in total revenue. I would do total revenue because that's an easier thing to keep track on. And the only way you can get there, you know that, is by doing one to many. And so I had a hard time with it in the beginning as well. In fact, all of my teachings in the beginning was live. I would start a group, but I would start a group though, and I would take them through a process live. And then I would start another group and take them through a process live. Then I realized if I pre-recorded the lessons, they were shorter. It was easier for them to review, but it was less of my time. And that hurt. That was not easy because I thought my time was the most valuable. But then I learned people don't want to be babysat. They don't want more of our time. They just want the results faster. And so when I compressed the lessons, made it available to them in a drip campaign where they get one lesson a week, let's say, and I met with them in a group once a week, they thanked me for having done that switch. It was easier for them to review. They saved time. I saved a lot of time. And so it's all perception. It's just your subconscious mind that hasn't accepted the idea yet. So just sit down, Jonathan, and write out all the benefits that they will have by doing it in a group, and then layer more values on top of it. So you can come up with some bonuses and other things that will make the package look even more attractive.
Thank you for that coaching to me.
Well, I mean, my pleasure. I learned a lot from it. So.
Yeah. What do you see? Like people in my situation, what is the biggest mistake when coaches like myself take like the next step? Because now if I add much more work and more clients, I can kind of collapse, I feel. So what do you think is like risky stuff to do here?
Right. So there's really four steps you have to focus on. And the first one is to multiply your core offer. So in a way where you're not selling your time anymore, you have to buy back more of your time. So you have to turn that into a one-to-many model as soon as possible and just accept the idea. Just accept the idea that it's going to be better for everybody. When you transfer that belief to the person you're selling, they'll buy into it. And it's not a false belief. It's a belief that's rooted in the idea that it's more fun for them. They learn a lot more. They learn from each other, and it builds up a community. And in this world of high tech, people are seeking high touch equally as much. And so there's four steps, right? We need to amp up lead generation. We need to get better at get back on stage, get people to, and I found that it's more effective to lead people away from pain than towards pleasure. So when it comes to lead generation, we want to really make sure that we're leading them away from pain. So you do a speech or you do a presentation around five things to avoid that prevents your ideal client from achieving this and this and this. It will convert 10 times as much as if you're trying to tell your ideal client what they can do to achieve this and this and this. Because they're still a stranger. They don't trust you yet. And we trust strangers more to lead us away from pain than we do to trust them to lead us towards pleasure. So that's the first thing. And then I've always had, since I started, I had two tiers. I had my core product, which was my masterclass that I facilitated ever since 2017, actually. Then I had a longer, deeper program on top of it. But I think the biggest mistake most coaches make is that they go broader, not deeper. We don't need to go broader in material. We just need to go deeper. So people invest proportionally to the level of proximity with you and integration help. People don't pay for information anymore. They can go on ChatGPT or go on YouTube and find the information. That's not where the value is. The value is in help with integration, but that doesn't mean it has to be one-on-one. So from the get-go, I would have a core offer that helps solve a big problem for your ideal client. Out of that core offering, there will be 10 to 20% of those people that would want to work deeper with you. They want to work in a more immersive way. They want to do a retreat with you. They want to do a deeper live in-person workshop with you. Or they want to do something of a deeper nature. That is your premium value program. So when you have those two tiers operating continuously in one-to-many models, both of them, now you've built a solid foundation and it's also stabilized cash flow. So it's not like this anymore, you know? And I would tie a fourth thing to it, which is what we're doing right now, actually. We've had it in multiple stages before, but now we are relaunching it. And that is a subscription-based community. Low price, but a certain amount a month to be part of. That also adds to sustained predictable revenue. And when you are, as a business owner, in a spot where your predictable revenue month to month matches your fixed expenses, you're in a very nice place. Now you don't have to every month anymore. Now you do things because you want to do them and you become much more creative. So that's what I would do, Jonathan.
There is so much value here. I'm going to listen to it like tonight, this episode. I'm
That's good.
One of the things I love the most is to create products for myself and for others. And I think many coaches and speakers, they underestimate the work that successful coaches and speakers, like how much work they add to their products. Because they think, yeah, but I spent one day and built a talk and now I'm trying to sell it and it doesn't work. And when I entered like Tony Robbins' UPW, I understood that, okay, Tony Robbins has worked 30 years with this product and he's been delivering it for thousands of times and it's 5 days. And that's the amount of work the best speakers and coaches add to their product. So when I built my product, the Million Course for speakers and coaches, I have now worked on it for around 3 years and it's 8 weeks and it's only 10 coaches and speakers per group. And I've done it 15 times now and I'm still working on it and tweaking it and I'm having so much fun with it and creating that strong product. And in Sweden, there's not many speakers and coaches who can like compare their products with the Million Course because I added so much time on it and so much of my thinking ability.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think when you build your products?
I agree wholeheartedly. And unfortunately, it looks easy.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people jump into the business and say, I can sit in front of a camera and talk. I can do that. But back to my point earlier, you have to become it. You can't just think you can do it. You have to, there's three levels, right? Identity. You have to change your identity. Like the mindset has to change. Skill set has to be built up. And then tool set has to be understood. The mindset, of course, is the determining factor. It's the make or break factor. The mindset is always first. It's 95% of the work. It's the mindset, it's the determining factor. And the skill set is a big contributing factor, but it's not the determining factor. You can have people with a strong-willed mindset. They don't have a lot of skill set yet, but they're still making quite good results. And then there's the tool set, which is a relevant factor. But the first is mindset. I agree. It's so easy, quote unquote, today to jump into this space because you have a camera and an iPhone and a microphone and say, now I am this. I'm going to teach on this. And I see a lot of people going on YouTube talking about concepts. But like Bob Proctor said to me once, so interesting. He asked, what do you want? And I said, I want to go out into the world with this material and change people's lives. He looked me straight in the eyes and he goes, isn't it smart that you start with yourself, Anders? And I'm like, all right. Yeah, I see what you mean. He's seen a lot of people come and go, because they don't do the work. They don't stand in front of the mirror 8 hours a day, practicing, 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 becoming the person who can do the thing. They're unwilling to do that. And so they show up on camera, pretend they can do the thing, and then clients sign up with them. And of course, it doesn't work because they haven't become the person. They've learned to talk about it. They know about it, but they don't know it. They haven't integrated it. And there's a lot of those folks out there. And nothing irks me more to see than to see people who haven't become it try and be it. It is the biggest error. We should never try and be anything more than we are. We just deliver content from where we are with what we have. When we do the best we can, and that was Bob's biggest thing, he said, you have to study every day. Every day, not some days, every day. So that you keep perfecting. And like you said, Jonathan, keep perfecting, keep tweaking, keep changing, keep upgrading. The biggest mistake is thinking that you can do it because you know something about it. Check results. Have they changed? Are people engaged? Am I drawing them in? What is their body language? How do they respond? What does the survey tell me? We meet with my team every week and we keep talking about how can we do it better. We keep upgrading our programs. Our focus is always there because it's so easy and it's so overlooked and so misunderstood at the same time. So everybody wants more money. They want to earn more. Of course, we do. We want growth. But our income is just relative to three things. It's such an easy equation. The need for what we do, our ability to fill the need, and the difficulty there is in replacing us. If I just focus on number two, my ability to fill the need, if I just keep getting better and better and better, the effect will take care of itself. It's cause and effect. Most people chase the effect called money. What they really should chase is the main cause called service. When we do Real Magic Live, the last time we did it in Copenhagen, just the bill for AV cameras, lighting was 1.5 million Danish kroners. And people said, well, Anders, you can get by with some white lamps here and there. It'll be fine. I was like, but no, I cannot compromise what I know it can be. And if that means we have to take a little bit of profit margins, I mean, fine, we'll do that because the quality is the bar's here. And we're meeting the bar here with what we know we can do. We're not compromising just because, I mean, that's just not the game we're playing. So there's two games, right? There's the temporary game of short-term quick buck in the bank. Those people fool themselves. And then there's the infinite game. The infinite game is just keep improving.
Wow. So what's the best way to like if you think like, yeah, this product probably is a great fit for the market. But how do you know if you're ready when it comes to the mindset towards the product?
Good question. I would keep asking myself, what have I succeeded in integrating of this? Have I actually put into practice what I'm presenting in this course, in this program? If I have, now I speak from awareness. Now I can talk from a different point of view. I can talk from a person who has done the work, who has, but there is no line of demarcation when we say now we are ready. We will never be ready. If we wait to become ready, we'll wait until the nursing home. So I'm not saying like we have to pass all the tests and do all the degrees before we can jump into it. All we have to do is continuously better ourselves and not try and give more than what we are. Because when we use the law of relativity and we find a person who don't have the same awareness, we are a few steps ahead and now we can help them. Now it's ethical and now it's right. And those people are always out there. So that's what I would do.
Yeah, that's a great advice. And when I created this podcast, my first like thought was, yeah, I would do 10 episodes and after that I will see. I'm not a podcaster, I'm a coach, I'm a speaker, I'm not a podcaster. But I did it and people loved it and they said, well, you're always so lucky, Jonathan. I mean, here we are creating a podcast and now it's one of the biggest entrepreneur podcasts in Sweden. And I felt, well, what have I been doing the last couple of 10 years? I mean, these are the conversations I've had anyway, every day.
Absolutely.
I've called different coaches and speakers and we talked business for hours.
Yeah.
So for me to enter this arena was like coming home because I've been doing it for a decade, but it has never been recorded. But I felt so ready in my mindset to enter this world.
I love that. You're like the 10-year overnight success, right? Oh, you're so lucky, Jonathan. Well, you didn't look the last 10 years. Like, there's so much that went on behind the scenes, and people don't see that in business. They never see all the effort, all the work you're doing when no one's watching. And so it looks effortless and it looks easy. And those people say that's luck. Oh my gosh, the best definition of luck I've heard is this. Luck is what happens when preparedness meets opportunity. And see, that's where people are unwilling to prepare. That's what I talked about before. They're unwilling. They just are not willing to do the job. They're not willing to spend the weekend practicing and rehearsing their craft. The party, the family, blah, 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 gets in the way. And oh, I didn't have time. And they try and waste. But you've just been preparing for 10 years straight. Of course, the opportunity came your
without
way.
Without knowing.
Yeah, well, there you go. But look at the great service you're putting out, like through a podcast like this. You're putting so much good out into the world. And of course, that comes back to you. That's cause and effect again at play, right? And most people focus on the cause. I wish I could do what Jonathan did. Well, everybody can, but not everybody's willing to put in the work like you put in.
I love that what you said, like preparation versus opportunity. Because when Tigran called me and said, it was Friday evening, I have just checked out. And he said, Jonathan, I can have you Brian Proctor tomorrow. So, tomorrow? Can we make it Sunday? And I did an interview, but I mean, I've been struggling with my English since like school. I had to put in a lot of work with my English, but with Brian, I felt quite nervous and wasn't really prepared for that big opportunity. I think I did okay, but it wasn't this massive success from my side and the level I know I can do. So I told Joseph, like, this opportunity is going to come very soon again, Joseph. So we need to switch. We need to talk English now every day. I'm not sure when, but this is going to happen again. And when it happens, I want to be there. I want to be ready. And a couple of days ago, Andreas called me. Hey, I can get you Daniel. I can get you. Sorry. Matthias Masur.
Okay.
And Matthias Masur, he's done $200 million.
Wow.
Selling like we do.
That's
and
amazing.
He's by many considered one of the best in the world, but he's not famous, but he's like this business genius.
That's
And I felt so ready. When
That's
I took
beautiful.
that interview, because me and Joseph, we had speaking like 2 hours of English every day for 2 weeks, and it was the best interview I ever done on English. And today with you, I feel much more comfortable than I was like 2 months ago.
I love that. Well, that's a good testament to that work you're doing. You just keep pushing the boundary and preparing. That's all it is, And if everybody just did that, they would have more, even more success in their businesses. So instead of looking externally for the resources and for the results, we should just go inward and realize there's always another standards upgrade that could happen, in our skill set.
What has been your number one, like, you sold so many live events, coaching, and what has been your number one way of selling? Has that been from stage, or has it been Facebook advertising, or what has been your number one way to sell your product?
It has to be a combination between our live events and 5-day challenges online. It's definitely a combination of the two. I find the longer time you spend with people, the higher price point you can sell at, the more emotionally invested people become. And so, yeah, it's a combination of live events where people are in an immersive environment, and in a virtual environment where they're with you over a period of days. But virtually, you have to shorten the time frame every day because you don't want to sit in front of a computer 4 or 5 hours a day. It tears you out. So just 1 hour a day for 5 days is a very effective framework. And for live events, we do 2.5 days in a live
Two
event
and a
setting.
half days. And then you like pitch in the very end, or how do you do that?
So there's three phases to it at a live event in any setting. It's really pre-framing is the first step, is figuring out all the reasons as to why your ideal client would say no. Most people don't think about that. They only think about all the reasons as to why they would say yes. But when you remove all their reasons as to why they would say no before you even pitch the offer, you're removing a lot of resistance to the offer from the get-go. And so one of the things I talk about from the beginning at a live event is it's how we all should attempt at collapsing timelines and achieve the results faster. And the more time they spend with me, the more I can help them collapse those timelines. And I help them adopt that idea from the get-go so that one of the resistance, like the emotions, is gone when we talk about joining a longer course after a weekend, for instance. When they accept that idea from the get-go, they're more inclined to buy into a longer process afterwards. Because there's people that's thinking, I can learn everything in a weekend. No, you can't. You don't learn to ride a bike in a weekend either. The weekend is there to help you raise your awareness in terms of what's needed. So the pre-framing is important. It's either one standalone lesson or series of lessons that you build into your material early on. And then in the middle of the event, you do a pitch. It's just an offer reveal. You just reveal to people what they can expect out of joining you longer term. And you give an opportunity for them to raise their hand and join right away. And of course, you go through a pitch process and everything, but we actually go through an application process. People can't just buy into it. They have to apply. And when they apply, they can stay in the room and then they learn what the opportunity is. But if they don't apply, that's fine. Like, I'm totally non-attached to that outcome. In the past, I was so attached to the outcome. We have to convert. We have to sell. I don't have to do anything. I can go and lie out on the beach in the afternoon and my life continues, Give me a yes or give me a no, but give it to me now because I gotta go. When you're in that energy, it changes. You're not in a need energy anymore. You're in a very detached energy. It can take you here if you're really serious about it, or you can choose not to go there that fast. It's really up to you. But when you've removed that resistance in the beginning and then you reveal the offer, it becomes a different thing. And then I do something called a repitch afterwards. It's when on day three, I go into a teaching lesson again and I attempt to remove the last resistance there is in the people that didn't accept the offer, such as, I wonder what my spouse is going to say, or whatever it might be. And then I do some teaching concepts around what do I call it, marriage or ownership. Like either you live in an ownership where you own each other's negative limiting beliefs, or you live in a marriage where you support each other with empowering beliefs. And so there's those three phases. And I find if you don't build them into it, it becomes too big of an uphill climb. You go teach and selling. Exactly. And everybody's like, eh. So Bob was a master at it. He would teach and he would sell. He would teach and he would sell. Say, you go into a teaching lesson. And by the way, before you're wrapping up today or tomorrow, we'll have this opportunity that will take you much further, much quicker. But let's come back to this lesson now, which was about. So he would soft seed a lot and to plant that idea in their minds. And I find that to be very effective. And it, you know, most people say, well, that's manipulation. No, it's not. It's persuasion. There's a big difference. Persuasion is just helping people make a decision for their own good that they have agreed to is for their own good. That's different. And I feel bad salespeople, people that don't do this very well, they resort to convincing and they resort to forcing it down people's throats. And I think we've all had those experiences in the past. So, you know, we have these negative beliefs around sales, but sales is really one of the most noble things you can do. Nothing in this world moves without anybody selling something. And selling is just, it's something you do for somebody if they have a need, you know. It's not something you do to someone. And when you help them accept that idea early on, it's much smoother sailing.
Because when I listen, some coaches and speakers, they tell me like, yeah, but I don't want to sell. I'm not as, that's bad mistake. And that's evil. And I just going to teach and I just going to give value. And if I do that, the clients will come.
Well, they're deluding themselves. That's delusion. That's complete and utter delusion. You can't help them if you don't sell them. And so sales and service is one and the same thing. The more you service them by teaching them, the more you'll sell them on the idea that is a good idea to work with you. But you can't help them if you don't sell them. It's not a noble thing. I have had clients say that too in the past. And, you know, my job is to get them to understand they're not setting their financial goals for their own sake. If they do that, they've misunderstood the entire thing. They set financial goals to contribute, to reach more people, to help more people, so they can donate more, so they can be more in the world, so they can help people around them, you know, their friends and people that depend on them. That should be the main reasons as to why we set healthy financial goals. It's just a circulation of energy. That's all it is. We arrive with nothing. We depart with nothing. Well, while we're here, we might as well circulate as much as we can of that energy so that we can donate more and be more to people around us. No, I think it's a big mistake. And, you know, people quote the Bible and said, the love of money is root of all evil.
Exactly.
Yes, it is the love of money, but it's not the money we're loving. We love the circulation of the idea that money represents, but money is just one aspect. Money is one out of 1,000 ways to express that circulation. If you fall in love with the idea called money, yes, then we have a problem. We should fall in love with the idea of circulation. And that's an intuitive recognition that's much greater and grander than money could ever be.
You're in such a flow here, Anders. It's just a pleasure seeing you in this action. And yeah, this, I mean, when I ask you, what were you grateful for in the very beginning of this conversation? I'm sitting here feeling really grateful that you're taking your time, having this amount of energy in my podcast. I feel very blessed.
I'm the grateful one, Jonathan. It's a big honor, and you're up late. So I mean, I'm admiring you for you know, taking one for the team and staying up late to get this done. It's still afternoon here in Miami, so I'll be all right.
That's no problem. What has been your best investment in your life? That can be like your dogs. That can doesn't need to be like a stock or something. That can be anything.
It's definitely been in my mind. Anything I've invested in my mind has given me returns beyond anything I could have ever dreamt of. It's you cannot invest too much in yourself. And I don't dare think about how my life would have panned out if I didn't learn that lesson. You see, I, for so many years, because I had a job I didn't like, I paid with my time. I paid with my life to earn the money I earned. That was hard, you know? So I learned a lesson where people who aren't growing, they focus on price because they paid with their life for the money they've earned, and they ignore value. Value comes from valuable investments. Whereas successful people, they ignore price and they only focus on value. They only focus on the value that their investments are giving them. And I didn't know what I did back then, but well, I didn't know. I had to invest in myself. I met Bob and I needed to make this work. So for the first time in my life, I didn't spend money. I invested money and I invested it in me, but I didn't have the money. But like you said, you don't need the money. I said, what do you mean I don't need the money? He said, you haven't made a decision, so you don't need the money. What the hell do you need the money for? I'm like, what? It turned the whole world upside down. I know I needed money to start my businesses and to fund it and get going. But he was right. We didn't get to the moon because somebody asked, do we have the money for it? We got to the moon because somebody asked, do we want to do it? The Wright brothers didn't get off the ground because they asked, can we do it? They just made a decision that that's what they were going to do. And then they found the resources. And so I was buried in debt, terrible debt, stupid consumption debt, you know, just that I bought stuff with. But for the first time, like one of my mentors said, wouldn't it make sense to go a little more into red to stay in the green zone for the rest of your life? Like all successful people do, they make investments. They don't focus on price. And he goes, if you don't have the money, find them. If the return is going to be 10 times as much or 100 times as much as what you invest, doesn't matter where the money comes from. Doesn't have to be your pocket. I'm like, wow. So I called my brother, put some credit cards together, drove some extra Uber, delivered food to people. I did a lot of crazy things to find the money I needed because I had made a decision. But that is my most valuable lesson, Jonathan. It's the value of investing in yourself to be around people who have the results you want. Unfortunately, and I see a lot of people too in this space, they ask people who don't know more than they know. They ask their family member, they ask their cousin who's stuck in a job that they don't like. Why would they ask them for? They're beautiful people, they're wonderful souls, but they just don't have the awareness. It doesn't make any sense. So if you have to pay what seems like a lot to be around successful people like you and other people in the field, my goodness, people can't afford not to do it.
If you were to like start over your career with zero and you want to become what you are today and you only have a short amount of time to do it, what would be like three concrete steps you would take immediately?
One, I would take enough time out to think. I didn't do that before. I was preoccupied with mental activity. I wasn't thinking. I would make sure I have enough room to think. Then I would look at a big problem that somebody's willing to throw a lot of money at to conquer. I would find a big problem somewhere that I know I could help solve. I would identify that problem, figure out what it was, figure out what keeps these people up at night. What is it that they really desperately want to solve? And I'll get very busy with the time I created to create a solution that would fill that need. And I'll get my little butt in gear and I'll go out and sell it.
Damn. You had that question before, haven't you?
Actually, I haven't. It's the first time I ever answered that question, Jonathan. But it just came through and through me.
It felt like that one he has been answering like 100 times.
God, honest truth, it's the first time I answered that question.
That was so clear.
I'm impressed too. It just came through and through me. It was my intuition. I was like, I'm impressed. I'm glad we can record this because I can go back and watch it too.
Yeah. A massive value in that response. I mean, you have over 10 employees, right, in your team?
So, yes. So last year we topped at 13 and we've created some changes recently. We adopted the Elon Musk mindset, you know, when he looked at the efficiency of Twitter, now X, to look at, he almost laid off 70% of his staff to optimize and create more efficiency. So we've been through a process where I actually brought in an external CEO to run my team. And we quickly identified a lot of ways that weren't really effective anymore and ways where we could get more done with less people. And so we've trimmed down staff-wise and we've gotten much more effective, and we raised our profit margins as a result. So the biggest expense on a team is usually always payroll, right? And we were following a model that wasn't really working too well. So I knew it was time to rebuild the model. And I've rebuilt the model multiple times throughout my journey. So we're four now, and we have a series or a group of outsourcers, like independent contractors that we work with in different areas that we can bring on based on need, but they're not full-time employees anymore. So we are more flexible in that sense. We're going into a new market as well, and there's a lot of uncertainty. And that's what excites me the most, to be honest with you. It's, I mean, that's what jazzes us up as entrepreneurs, isn't it? It's the uncertainty. And like you doing all your adventures you were sharing with me before we started the recording, that's incredible. Absolutely incredible that you have that in you to go do these things. So in that same sense, in a different way, I am taking on a big, some would call it calculated risk. So I can't talk too much about it now, but you know, it will be public eventually, but we're going into a new market in a totally different way with a new look to Real Magic Live. And so, yeah, it's good things coming, but yes, as a business owner, you always have to stay ahead of the curve, right? There's always curveballs being thrown at you. So,
yeah, but and I can imagine having 13 people in your team. I mean, that is a lot of challenge to stay connected with everybody. I mean, we are a small team. I have like a virtual coordinator and one person in sales and one who helps me like with the technical aspects, and I think that's quite a lot to communicate with and to have leadership. And yeah, so what was your biggest lesson there when it comes to building a team? Is there anything you want to add as a value there, how to think?
Yeah, you have to think from the end. You have to have a very clear vision of where you're going. Our vision changed throughout the last 2 years, and the staffing didn't change with the vision. We kept people that weren't really in alignment with the vision anymore, that should have probably be let go of earlier. But that's my mistake when I look back. It's not having had clarity enough to make those decisions earlier or have created clarity enough earlier, which is why I brought the CEO in to actually create the clarity, because I was busy delivering. I was the content. I was already delivering content materials. And so running the company and being the product and the company at the same time was a conflict with 13 people, like you say. So that was a lesson for me, is just have a clear vision. And there's more and more data now that shows some of the there's going to be billion-dollar businesses popping up right and left with people with less than five people, with all the leverage that we can create now with AI. It's extraordinary. And I believe this is the best time to be alive to create a personal brand. Our odds for success has never been bigger. But you have to lean on the personal brand. People that hide behind a faceless brand, I mean, they'll be replaced by ChatGPT in a season or two. But the people that lead with their personal brands, you know, the more high tech the world becomes, the more high touch need there will be. And so there's always a need there, but we don't need a lot of people to get the job done. 10xing is easier than 2xing when you do it the right way.
Yeah, it's a very exciting future now with AI and everything that's just coming up so quickly.
That is. There's two approaches. Be scared of it because you don't know what it is, or lean into it and use it to your greatest advantage. And I went through that process of being, oh, what do we do? But I came to the conclusion that lean into it. You know, that's what all great leaders would do. They would lean in, leverage it. And, you know, what I also realized is with a personal brand, there's nothing can replace that. And so, yeah, good things coming.
Do you have any like dream adventure that you would like to do?
I have. I am going to get my pilot certificate. I'm going to get my little water plane. I always wanted that. And I told myself this year is the year to do it.
Sorry, I didn't hear the last word there.
I told myself this year is the year to do it, to get my pilot license and actually get that going. My dream is to have a little water plane that I can go anywhere with. You know, here from Miami, it's easy. You know, go to the Caribbean, to the Bahamas, to the islands, to the Keys. Just go on a little lunch trip to, you know, the British Virgin Islands and back. You know, that's things like that. I want more of that kind of freedom. So yeah, that's an adventure that's on my list for sure.
That seems amazing. Maybe I will ask you to join me to Everest or something in the future. Who knows?
That would be an honor.
Is there anything else you want to add before I wrap up this interview?
You know, Jonathan, we started with gratitude, right? So I think it's probably appropriate that we wrap up with gratitude.
Yeah.
So here's a scarf, right? It's pretty easy. I'm going to tie a knot. I'm going to tie this knot. You see that? You see the knot right there?
Yeah.
So that knot represents a knot in our life, a challenge or something else that's not very pleasant. Sometimes you feel it, it's right in the stomach, it's not nice. It's literally physical. You feel that knot in your stomach. But the more we practice the art of gratitude, and it's an art, it's not something just that the conscious mind can grasp. It's an experience. We have to emotionalize the feeling. But once we do, that knot sort of loosens up a little bit, and you can actually get rid of it. Pretty easy, somewhat easy, and discard it completely. And, you know, but it doesn't stop. There's always going to be knots and there's always going to be challenges, especially for business owners. You know, it seems to me that the more success you create, the more challenges are being thrown your way. And like a good mentor of mine told me once, successful people are not people without problems. They're just people who have learned to solve their problems. And gratitude certainly helps us solve those problems one at a time. They sort of just slide away, and you know, life just gets much more enjoyable and it gets a lot happier as well.
Wow. And you also have a quiz. What's on your mind? Would you like
Yeah,
to share
so
what's that quiz?
That's a good question. We had a lot of people reach out and over the years and ask, how do we identify that illusion that's holding us back? Because I talk a lot about mental illusions and what's blocking us. And I identified five illusions that are holding most people back. And we all land in either one of the five buckets. Maybe it's the illusion of knowledge. Maybe we kid ourselves into thinking that the more knowledge I gather, the more educations I take, the more success I will have. Well, we know that's not true. It's the integration of information that works. And maybe it's the illusion of hustle and grind. Maybe I think I need to work harder to make things happen. So we all fall into one of those five buckets. And that quiz helps a person identify what illusion is holding them back, and then they get a PDF that explains what that means and how to work with it and how to overcome it. And yeah, it's a very effective one. We've had thousands of people take it, and we'd be very grateful if we can link to that here as well.
Of course we will. Anders, it's been a true honor having you in my podcast. I had a wonderful conversation with you, and I really hope that I can meet you one day, either if that's in the States or in Denmark or in Sweden. So that will be on my bucket list after this conversation, Anders.
I love that. That's wonderful. And likewise, I really appreciate you, Jonathan, for all the great work you do and for all the people that you help in Sweden and around the world. I'm very, very grateful for having had the opportunity here to talk with you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And if you liked this interview, please help us share it and tag Anders on Instagram, connect with Anders, and share his amazing work with your friends and with the world. Have a good day, everybody. Bye bye.